So, Paul, in your response, you said that if you wanted plausible deniability on making left traffic for a runway that was posted as right traffic, yeah, you could go north of the airport. Would you even bother? Or would you just enter left traffic the way you would normally would if it was a left traffic runway?
I'd enter left traffic just as I normally would on a 45-degree downwind, and I'd coordinate with the jump pilot, find out where he was in his descent, or he, for all I know, he could be departing.
So you've got no problem whatsoever in making left traffic for a runway that's right. You get ramped at the end of it. How do you justify this?
Well, I justify it because the jump operation uses that kind of pattern and basically enters a long straight downwind or a 45 to the downwind, and the chart supplement allows it. So if they can do it, I can do it.
Just because it's in there in the AFD, so that's the
plausible deniability part is, if you're uncomfortable with that, then just fly further north, make it a straight into 19.
Well, I think also, you know, what Paul maybe is alluding to here is whatever the chart says is based on normal conditions with no conflict, right? You're flying into this area and now there's a conflict there. So if that means you have to fly a left pattern because that's the safest thing to do, you fly a left pattern and then explain it when you land.
Fair enough, fair enough. When you think about it, though, this pilot, it was just sheer chance that he caught that radio call. And probably he had a completely different plan in mind. Would you then, the jump planes are happening all the time. Why not just fly left traffic all the time? I mean, hey, you know that there might be skydivers coming down in the middle of this airport. Isn't that just like making up the rules? I mean, can we do that?
I don't disagree with Paul's choice because he's familiar with that airport. It's a place he's very comfortable with. He knows exactly what that jump plane's going to do. He knows the rules at that airport. If I was a stranger arriving, as I would be, as I look at this airport myself, just preparing for it, I would have elected choice three. I would have circled well south of the airport to be sure I missed any of the people that were headed for the drop zone and entered a 45 on the downwind, the right downwind for runway 19. That's the recommended procedure in the AIM. It's not required. You can do a straight in. You can do an enter the left base. You can do all of those things. I just think as a stranger to the airport, I'd probably do the recommended procedure time one, and maybe I'd learn after I got there that there were other more expeditious ways.
I don't like any of these answers. I'm going to wait till all the jumpers are on the ground. I'm going to judge their landings and see how many of them fall over in these 14-knot winds. I'm going to be entertained while all this is going on, and I'm going to wait till it's clear and then land. I have no interest in tangling with these jumpers under canopy or in wingsuits or whatever they're doing. I'm going to wait a few minutes, land after.
I hate to agree with Dave, but I keep agreeing with Dave. I would do the same thing. I would just kind of hang out there. I'd probably try to talk to the jump plane pilot. And if the guy was a Yahoo, then I'd be like, okay, this is not a great operation. I'm just going to definitely stay away and watch. But looking where the wind is coming from, I know that the jumpers are probably going to be somewhat to the south of the airport because there's going to be a drift that way. And I just don't want to get there. So I just stay away.
Well, now you were coming to this airport specifically to do skydiving. You had it on your radar that it was skydiving. If you were coming to this airport to meet your friend for lunch, there's nothing but the little symbol on the chart saying skydiving operations at this airport. Do people regularly, other than Paul, who this is on your radar probably all the time, do people regularly start taking that into account? Hey, there might be skydivers coming down at this airport.
Well, I want to discourage that attitude that you have to wait this out, because at Zephyr Hills in the winter, you'll wait until you run out of gas, because we're making constant jump runs and constant exits. So what I want to encourage is that the skydivers are one group of airport users, but they don't obviate the use of the airport by airplanes. The airport is there for airplanes, so you should just fly it as a normal operation. Just make sure that you have enough distance and you understand where the spot is, and fly your normal pattern just as you would. Don't be discouraged just because skydivers are there.
I like option five here because it accepts that there's some parachutists up there. You don't know where they all are. So you make a right-hand turn and you extend a little bit, give yourself some space, some distance, and then you can evaluate and look over and see where things are and turn around and come fly a straight in. To me, that seems a reasonable choice.
I have a question, Paul. You alluded to it in your discussion, but approximately how many minutes would it take from the time we hear parachutes away to the people are on the ground?
Oh, because these days, because the loads are so mixed with different disciplines, 70 for the first group, 70 seconds in free fall and about 3 minutes under canopy. And then for the last group, could be wingsuits. They could be up there for 4 minutes.
So if we hang out 10 or 15 minutes or 10 minutes, we're surely going to be clear unless there's another jump plane headed up.
Correct. If there's another airplane, it could be continuous all day. And during the winter, we have those kinds of operations. So what I'm trying to encourage is you can blend into this and it will be seamless. You may be a little bit nervous about it, but no one else will be, at least in the jump operations.
I operate at an airport where there's quite a bit of jumping going on as well. And the one thing that impresses me is that they always wind up in the drop zone. It doesn't mean they will 100% of the time, but they're very reliable.
But I've got to kind of call you out on this, Paul, here, because you've actually contradicted yourself between what you just said and your expert response. You had said here, you should just do what you normally do at the airport. And if I was landing runway 19, it says right traffic for runway 19. I'm going to enter right traffic for runway 19, even maybe past south of the airport, but that's option 3. And yet you're going to enter left traffic instead. So is there a right or wrong answer here? Or how does that
I think
call?
There's a I think there's a optimal and a suboptimal. And the suboptimal is the right downwind entry for 19, because that puts you close to the deployment point of the first group. It wouldn't be entirely wrong, and if it were flown, say, somewhere over towards the 2-3 side of the airport, it would be far enough away, it wouldn't be an issue, but it wouldn't give you the kind of separation that the flying left traffic would.
I think one thing we have to remember is everyone has a radio. Like, everyone who's flying there has a radio. You heard a radio call. You've made radio call. Maybe you haven't made a radio call just yet, but, you know, you have an operational radio, and we don't have to operate in a silo. So I think what I'd probably do if I heard that jumpers away call is just start talking to the jump pilot. I know that this jump pilot is way more familiar with this airport than I am. And so I might ask him, hey, like, what's your suggestion? What's your position? Should I enter 19? And I'm sure the jump pilot's probably really friendly.
Have you seen the way some of the jump pilots fly?
Yeah, I'm more worried about the jump plane hitting me.
Michael Goulian has got nothing on jump pilots when it comes to aerobatics and I mean it's
that's
some
fair.
Of the
they
way
they fly aggressively, but I mean I would think that if you just ask for help, that they will help.
They fly aggressively, but not offensively. And our operation and virtually all of the operations I've jumped at, which is a fair number, they're courteous because they have to be part of the airport community. And they have to fit into that group of operations. And they'll work something, you're right, they'll work something out with you on the frequency and they'll advise you and they're not going to shoo you away. And the more you understand where that airplane is and what it's going to do, the better you'll fit in. Because you are a bona fide, legitimate operator, and you're allowed to go on that runway or any runway at any airport that has a DZ. And that's what I would most encourage.
And I might throw a little humor in, too. I might be like, hey, I'm flying an airplane now, but I'm going to be jumping out of your plane later. A little help here.
Actually, that's a really good point. I mean, you don't have to be super formal on this, and you can culturally, like, I'm just trying to fit in here. Help me out. What will I do? You know, there's a natural human inclination if you're not being, you know, the one coming in saying, hey, I should be landing, you know, runway 19, and why are you over on the left or whatever it happens to be. You know, even for other things like changing runways.
And I should point out that we have gliders at this airport, active gliders. And all of us have been in the air under parachute and look down between your legs and see a glider go under you to land. Nobody worries about this. We've been doing it for years. Everyone knows how the operation works and they're pretty relaxed about it. And I'm making the argument to apply that to a pilot who's potentially a transient or a visitor to the drop zone.
Here's a right-of-way question for you, Paul. Who's got the right-of-way between a wingsuit jumper and a glider?
Well, it wouldn't be an issue because a wingsuit flyer is not yet under canopy. So we got to talk about who has a right of way between a jumper under canopy and a glider. And it's not really well defined, but I maintain it's the parachute jumper because he has less glide ratio. So essentially, it's the power versus unpowered argument. So the sailplane has a ton more glide ratio and lift and has spoilers to control that. And on the parachute, we're just going down.
You know, I've flown around some really busy jump operations, DeLand, Florida. I've flown in and there, out of there lots of times. I don't know. I was taught that that there are only three things that fall from the sky: rain, bird shit, and fools. And the fools are likely to come down just about anywhere. You know, at DeLand one day, I saw multiple cutaways. You know, there were people landing way off the airport. And so, you know, I've got no confidence that they're going to open their canopies exactly where I expect them or follow any particular pattern to the ground. So I'm just staying well clear till I'm confident that.
But at some point, you've got to go in, right? I mean, it's, if you're going to land at this airport, they're going to be, like Paul said, going all day.
Yeah, it's not, you just have to suck it up and realize that, yeah, there's going to be some risk here. But generally speaking, 99.9% of the time, parachutes are not going to be operating. We're not going to be under canopy at a point anywhere near equivalent to your downwind, your base, or your final.
Yeah, my experience, Dave, has been contrary to your experience, at least the one place where I operate. They seem very disciplined and organized, and they're good airport neighbors. They're fine. And we get along. They stay in their little area and talk on the radio. The jump plane flies a pattern when he comes back, and it works pretty well. And that's a one-off example. But
I did one tandem jump once, and I one of my clearest memories of it was during the free fall. I look over to my right, and I see that the King Air I just jumped out of is pretty much flying formation with us on the way down. He's got the props flattened. He's going. A pretty much vertical descent. And I just thought, wow, you know, really interesting, really, really different. I'm not confident that it's like I've never seen a King Air fly this way before. Also, we went IMC for about 20 seconds of that jump. And it was kind of interesting because you get to feel what ice crystals on the inside of a cloud are like when they whack your face. But that was maybe a little different because it was a drop zone it was a private airstrip that was just a drop zone. They didn't have to fit in with any other traffic. But I thought it was a pretty undisciplined operation, and I'd have zero confidence that the jumpers are going to come down where you expect or the airplane is going to be where you think it's going to be.
You were in Steve's budget skydiving there, it sounds going on.
And also, it's like the King Air landed. I mean, it's like it was on the ground well before any of the jumpers got there. And it's like it was really impressive that it could get up and down as fast as it did. But it's like I also saw that they're doing a volume business. And it's like it reinforced my inclination to stay well clear.
Dave, is it safe to say there was no second jump for you?
Yeah, it was just, you know, I did it because I thought that, hey, I fly these aerobatic airplanes. I'm sitting on a parachute. I already know how to use this piece of equipment. And I'm kind of terrified by the idea of ever using it. And it's like, and after having jumped once, I can say that I think I'm probably more terrified now than I was before.
Well, you bring up a point. Let's just bring the lens back a little bit here. You're jumping out of these planes at 13,000 feet, maybe higher. There's a King Air in a near vertical descent coming back to that airport. Do we have a responsibility to even think about this when we're overflying airports? If you're doing a 400-mile VFR flight, you sit there and like scroll along the magenta line and like, okay, I'm looking for, you know, parachute, hang glider, and other symbols on the chart just because.
Honestly, maybe I'm one of the only ones that still does, but I actually put a line on my iPad and I scroll along while I'm flying, looking at where I'm going. Tons of people that I know, friends of mine, they just take the iPad and they throw it next to their chair and that's it.
You need to be on flight following as well, because if you're on flight following, hopefully the jump pilot is announcing and they're going to tell you.
And as far as descents go, the jump airplane will be in the same general column of air that the jumpers are. And yeah, the airplanes do beat us down sometimes. They'll beat, they'll certainly beat the last group down.
Yeah, I'm with Michael. I like to fly a lot of low and slow VFR, and so I'll follow along and I'll try to make it a point to go circle around airports, but especially if they have that parachute symbol on there.
You know, that's the real takeaway for me is that when I'm flying VFR, I'm pretty much following the magenta line, and the parachute symbol doesn't show up on the map display most of the time. I mean, it's like the map display that I'm looking at, I don't see that. And I'm at altitudes well below, 14.5 or where the jumpers commonly leave the airplanes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, that's something I realize that I don't probably think about enough. If I was landing at the airport, I've looked at it. But for those overflying of airports, you know, going right over the top of an airport, it's a great landmark. And, you know, it's a place to land. And I'm not really thinking about which way people might be coming down in the winds. But, I had my own scary experience once flying right through a bunch of hang gliders because I was coming into an airport that was just beyond it. And luckily, we just moved through. But still, it was a shock that it was there. And that is probably something that is worth, in this digital world of magenta lines, scrolling along and being like, hey, where are the conflicts going to be? Where is the wind coming from? And how can just a small motion left or right, of course, make sure that I don't have to worry about plausible deniability? There's no plausible deniability if the two of us collide. That's the end of the day for probably both of us, but definitely me.